You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Vince Scully says he joined Twitter because he misses the fans. Tony, wouldn't you miss our viewers?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. We're about to find out. We're on ESPN, too.
Oh, what a shot. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
There was a time not too long ago, let's stay with me here, where ESPN2 had more viewers than ESPN. Back when they had the North Carolina Duke game and it was exclusive to ESPN2, there were more ESPN2 viewers. Call the bosses in Bristol, ask them if I'm right.
Okay. How about today? How about today?
Well, I said not
How
so
about
long
today?
Ago.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Dabo Sweeney doesn't want to delay the playoff. The Rockets and the Lakers tip off and Lionel Messi decides where he's playing next season. But we begin today with the Toronto Raptors shocking the Boston Celtics last night on a catch-and-shoot buzzer beater by OG Anunoby. There's no way this could happen. There was only 0.5 of a second left on the clock, and the Celtics had 11-foot-tall Taco Fall guarding the inbound pass, which was delivered by 6-foot-tall Kyle Lowry. After the game, Boston's Jaylen Brown called the loss, quote, a bleeping disgrace, unquote. Wilbon, do you blast the Celtics or do you credit the Raptors?
The Celtics don't even matter in my enjoyment of that moment last night. I like this Celtics team. I love Jaylen Brown. The Celtics don't matter. Kyle Lowry delivered maybe a greater pass than Grant Hill because he had to throw it over a 7'6 guy. You know who was guarding Grant Hill when you were there that day? I know you know. No one guarded him. That was part of the controversy. There's a 7'6" dude. He's right there. Now, was he as close to Lowry as he could have been? No, he wasn't. But
That's
he's
right.
there, okay?
That's right.
You got to deliver the pass on time, on target, as all the coaches, the football people like to say. And he has got to catch and shoot it. And he has 1/4 the time Christian Laettner had to take a dribble and meamble and do all
That's
that
right.
stuff. No.
That's right.
This is about the Toronto Raptors saving their season. They did it last year, too, down 0-2 to Milwaukee. They had to go double overtime, and they won that series. There is a heartbeat in the Raptors. This was a great, great moment. Don't you dare try to diminish it.
Oh, no, I'm not going to try and diminish it.
All right.
It is a great, great moment. Only two of the things you said were insane. Only two of them.
Only two, what?
The notion that was a harder pass to deliver than Grant Hill when he had to throw it 75 feet.
He didn't have
so you're completely wrong about that. No, you're completely wrong about that.
I'm going to ask Grant.
It was a lovely pass. Look, I'm going to answer this question directly.
Okay.
And I'm going to agree with you. The greater moment belongs to Toronto because they had no right to win that game. They were going down 0-3. They were done. And they won the game. The pass was made and the shot was made. I'll tell you this. If there are no Boston Celtics on the court and there's nobody guarding Kyle Lowry,
That's right.
to still go up in half a second
yes.
and make a three,
yes.
I don't think it happens 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 15. And it reminds me of the Virginia play a couple of years ago, which I didn't think could possibly happen.
Right.
So it's a great play. What happens now is, what does this do to the series? I mean, Fred VanVleet is quoted as saying, Boston screwed up by letting us back in
they
this
did.
Thing. Where do you think the rest of the
they
series
did.
Goes?
I was there at courtside last year when the Milwaukee team thought they were going to, the Bucks thought they were up 3-0. They were counting the third win, just like the Celtics last night. And all of a sudden,
right.
it's 2-1, it's 2-2, and they lost 4-2. They didn't win another game. I think Boston's better than that. I just think that Toronto is going to even this series, whether it's 2-2 or they have to go down 3-1 and it goes 3-3. I think Toronto evens this series, and then we see. What do you think? You've seen a lot. You covered decades of this stuff.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that the Leitner shot is far more important than this shot, and I'm not going to even entertain the fact that it isn't.
Talk about momentum.
But I will tell you this. I think Boston is a better team than Toronto's real good.
Right.
I think Boston's a slightly better team, so we'll see. But, yeah, this gives them life. No question. Heartbeat. Life. Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Could never
have.
Shouldn't happen.
And, by the way, I didn't say it was a bigger thing than Leitner. That was they advanced. I said it's a harder
shot. Harder to do this.
Leitner had 48 seconds to do his old man YMCA dribble and get the shot off.
Stop.
This guy
has
5/10 of a second.
I beg you.
Stop. This is the dumbest thing you've ever said. That it's harder than Leitner's
harder. Move on.
Stop it. Stop. I'll dwell forever if you don't come around to your senses. The Rockets and the Lakers take the court tonight for game one of their series. Lakers coach Frank Vogel notes that the Rockets beat the bigger Lakers team back on February 6th. He also says that a team like the Rockets that just played game 7 has an immediate advantage over a team like his that's been off for 6 days. We agree?
Yeah.
Tony, you and I, we've been, you know, down on the Rockets, to be frank, lately. Have we underestimated their chances?
So let's use a term that you often hear on television news shows when they get into a story. And they say, let's unpack this story. Let's unpack what Frank Vogel said. The notion that the advantage goes to Houston because they just played a game 7 and they are in rhythm. And the Lakers are at a disadvantage because they haven't, not only haven't they played in a week, they really haven't played a meaningful game in 2 weeks because they were easily going to win that series. So I would ask Frank Vogel this, and I know he watches this show. So, Frank, listen up for a second. Did you pay attention at all to the game last night between the Clippers and Denver, which is a similar circumstance of a team being off for a while and a team winning a game? Did you see that score? Because the Clippers killed. The Clippers killed Denver. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, what gives me pause, I agree with Vogel fully on the second part of his presentation, that the rest versus
on
rust.
On the theory of it.
No. I think the Rockets can win game one. Now, I don't think they're going to get any more than that. I think this is a five-game series, Tony. And if the Lakers somehow come out tonight and play well or steal one late because somebody hits a shot, then that's it. Because I don't believe in small ball. Look, the Rockets players, they now have something they didn't have previously all the time, grit and a determination and a toughness and seemingly a resolve from Harden to Westbrook to P.J. Tucker. Stop for a second. What?
They have grit. I'm going to give you grit. Do they have any size?
No,
how are they going to guard Anthony Davis?
I don't believe in small ball. I don't.
How are they
going to
do
guard
it?
LeBron?
They're not going to do it.
I don't think they can. Philosophically,
and by the way,
the Lakers, if they win...
The Lakers aren't stealing game one. Lakers are better. They're winning
they
game one if they win.
They could steal game one by trailing the whole game. Did Toronto steal game 3 last night? Thank you very much.
It's a
thanks
totally
for playing the game.
Different
it is.
Circumstance.
If you're behind the whole game and you win it, you
Dabo
steal it.
Dabo Sweeney, I'm moving on whether you are or not.
You're
crazy
Dabo today.
Sweeney,
that ties
your boy,
tight.
Whose Clemson Tigers have been in the college football playoff the last 5 years. Says the playoff this year should not be pushed back to accommodate the Big Ten and the Pac-12 should they decide to play sooner than January. Sweeney's exact quote is, "We're ready to roll. That would be something I wouldn't be in favor of. It will be hard to start in November and then push the season into February," unquote. Well, but I'm sure you agree with Dabo, don't you?
No, I don't agree with Dabo. No. I mean, it isn't hard because they begin the season essentially by the time the SEC teams all finish playing Samford and they move into the meat of their schedule. It essentially is an October-November season, and they play, you know, now mid-January anyway by the time they get around to finish the playoffs. So, no. Dabo Sweeney is entitled to his opinion. Somebody asked his opinion, he gave it. But no, Tony, you can play this game in February. There's nothing wrong with that if you get to it. And others may or may not. We don't know whether they're going to get to a season in or not. But look, the SEC and the ACC, they're not paying attention to what the Pac-12 and the Big Ten do anyway. They might just declare, when you don't have a commissioner, when you don't have leadership with a cohesive plan, yeah. I've heard that somewhere in the last few weeks, when you don't have that, which college football doesn't, it's anarchy anyway.
Okay. So the notion that you can't push the thing to February amuses me. What else do you have to do? Right. You can push this thing as far down the road as you want to push this thing. You already take between 5 and 6 weeks before you play, you know, after you play your last game to get to the playoffs.
That's
so take a few more weeks. It doesn't matter at all. This is college football. It is not three conferences. It's college football. If the Big Ten plays, and I hope they play sooner rather than later, I don't care about the Pac-12 because it's not any good. But if the Big Ten plays, you wait for the Big Ten. It's the entire country. I don't understand a word of what Dabo Swinney is saying, and I usually side with him.
No, I disagree with him. I understand it all. What he's saying is we don't care about the Pac-10 and the Big Ten, and they don't.
You should.
They don't.
You should.
They don't. And the ACC now, Tony, the arrogance of the ACC, they think they're somehow the SEC. Because, look, Clemson can afford to think that Florida State – you know, not so much. I don't want to hear about Syracuse and Boston College.
Clemson is totally legit in this thing as a great football team.
Yes, yes.
But this is a television show, and a television show seeks ratings, and ratings are enhanced by geographic distribution.
There's one quick thing you got to consider. If they play, they move that championship too late, Tony. Kids aren't going to play in it who are all thinking they're going to the NFL because their preparedness trumps playing those games. It does.
And that's right. And that's fine for them.
Right.
But people root for the uniform. And they will continue to watch. Let's take a break. Coming up, we must break down tomorrow's Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
Yes, we must.
You must break it down because I ain't even paying
attention. I will.
And it's tonight the last chance for Giannis and the Bucks to get back into their series with my man Jimmy Butler in the Heat.
Yes, it is the last chance. You can't go 3-0.
So you don't think in a bubble with no home court disadvantage you can go down 3-0 and catch up?
Hard.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for toss-up, where I will play the role of Kyle Lowry and Wilbon will play the role of Taco Fall.
Are you coming around?
What's first?
Tough pass.
Toss-up, who you got in tonight's Game 3, the Bucks or the Heat?
I'm going to be quick on this, and you can take it all the way to the bell. I understand that Toronto was facing 0-3, and they won, but they got extraordinarily lucky to win that game. I think that Miami is a better team than Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Milwaukee has done nothing to give me a particular confidence in them, so I will take Miami.
Tony, I think Miami looks like the better team, too. So we're not disagreeing there. We're talking about tonight's game, right? We're not projecting the series.
Yeah.
Tonight, Game 3.
Right. Yeah.
The Bucks can't go out like this. If the Bucks go out like this, Tony, it worries me that Giannis will be going out like this. Whether he's going to the Golden State Warriors or the Knicks or somewhere else. And I'd like to see him be in Milwaukee. I think the Bucks don't go out getting swept. The Bucks win tonight. I think Miami is a better team, but the Bucks win tonight.
Next.
Toss up, who had the better week, Tom Brady or Cam Newton?
Brady, by far. Brady got help. He got Leonard Fournette. Here's what Cam Newton got. He got a C to wear on his jersey, which all quarterbacks get. And they named him the starting quarterback, which everybody knew was going to happen. Did he get a wide receiver? Did he get a running back? Did he get help? No. Brady got help.
It's Cam Newton by a wide margin who had the better week. Cam Newton was essentially out of football. He didn't have a team. The team he had gotten rid of him. And he goes and he gets Bill Belichick. And I'm still staying on this theme. You got Brady and all the 49 million weapons they've lined up for him.
That's
that
right.
Say he
That's
ought right. to go 18-0 or his season's been a disappointment. I'm saying to you, I guess it's 19-0. I'm saying to you, I'll ride with Cam Newton and Bill Belichick in terms of who has the better season. He's a co-captain. He's going to start and play. Are you kidding me? It's Cam Newton.
Yeah, have a nice ride. Have a nice ride.
Cam Newton.
Seriously, have a nice ride with both of them. Next.
Last one. Toss up. Bigger deal this weekend. The PGA Tour Championship or the Kentucky Derby?
It's the Kentucky Derby by a mile or a mile and a quarter.
No,
Tis the Law
not.
Has a chance to do something that only 13 horses in history have ever done, which is win the Triple Crown. If, of course, he wins the Derby, and then he wins the Preakness. I mean, you know, I know it's elongated. I know it's out of order. I know it seems bogus, and it may be bogus, but it's the Triple Crown. The Tour Championship is an invention of sponsors and the PGA Tour. It's not even a major. A couple of years ago, Tiger Woods won the tournament, and Justin Rose got all the money for finishing fourth. The answer is the Kentucky Derby.
You said on this show, when the Kentucky Derby was moved and when the Triple Crown races were rearranged, that it wouldn't even count.
Yeah.
You called it bogus. What are you saying?
I just
tried to make me believe that a putt at the BMW, granted at Olympia Fields, was more important or somehow greater, a greater shock than seeing Ananobi hit that shot last night.
Oh, yeah.
You're all
DJ's
over the place.
DJ's putt was much greater.
You're all over
DJ's
the place. You know what happened?
Much greater.
The air
much
in the
greater.
Attic, as we move toward fall, it is getting thin, and you have no idea what you're saying. The oxygen doesn't even get to your brain.
Please, I'm getting
That's
the vapors.
It.
I'm going
Let's
to pass out.
Let's take one last
it's
break.
It's the Derby.
But still to come, it's never the Derby, after being released by the Washington football team. Where does Adrian Peterson go from here? And Lionel Messi, still never won a cup, makes a decision about where he's going to play next season.
You've said he's a fraud.
No, he's a great, great player, but he doesn't win
you
the big
said,
one.
I just heard
he
you
can't
say
be
it 10
the
minutes
goat.
Ago. He's a fraud.
No, that was you talking about the Derby.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Happy time, people. Happy 52nd birthday, Mike Piazza. The Hall of Famer finished with 427 home runs, 1,135 RBI, and a .308 batting average. Tremendous numbers for a catcher. It's the most home runs ever by a catcher. But the most memorable visual of Piazza's career was in the 2002 World Series, when Piazza's bat broke and Roger Clemens picked it up and crazily threw it at Piazza, running to first. Clemens would later claim he thought he was throwing the ball at Piazza, which is totally insane. The story of Mike Piazza is that he was drafted by the Dodgers in the 62nd round. Tommy Lasorda did it as a favor to Piazza's dad, who, like Lasorda, was born and raised in Norristown, Pennsylvania. Ironically, if Piazza were coming up today, he wouldn't be drafted at all, because this year's draft only went 5 rounds. An interesting factoid about Piazza involves Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz, Wilbon. Mitchell's dad played minor league ball with Piazza and reunited with him when he worked for the Mets. Donovan Mitchell grew up wanting to be like Mike Piazza.
How cool is that, Tony? But just to clear this up, you're not going to say Piazza's the greatest catcher in Dodgers history. You're not going to say that.
I'm not.
Okay, I didn't think so.
I'm not.
Mr. Campanella.
Roy Campanella is what I'm going to say.
Would qualify as that. But that's a cool story about him and Donovan Mitchell. I like that story.
Happy anniversary, Jim Abbott. On this day 27 years ago, Abbott, who was born without a right hand, tossed a no-hitter for the Yankees against the Cleveland Indians. Abbott came to the public eye as a pitcher on the 1988 U.S. Olympic baseball team. The California Angels made him the 8th overall pick in the draft and then brought him up to the majors without any minor league experience. Abbott finished 5th in the voting for AL Rookie of the Year in 1989 after going 12-12 with a 3.92 ERA for the Angels. His best season was 1991 when he was 18-11 for the Angels with a 2.89 ERA. That got him to 3rd in the AL Cy Young voting that year. Abbott spent 10 years in the majors with 4 different teams and retired with a career record of 87-108 and an ERA of 4.25. Those are not great numbers, but all the other pitchers in the majors during those years had both hands. Abbott had one and had to catch a ball hit back to him and transfer his glove under his arm to be able to throw the baseball. He is totally inspirational.
Admirable. He's heroic. The first time I ever got to see Jim Abbott pitch in person, Tony, you talk about the 88 Olympic team, it was the year before in Indianapolis, 1987, at the Pan American Games. And that's when so many people became aware of his unbelievable talent and perseverance and courage. I don't care what his record is, heroic describes Mr. Abbott to me, always has.
Happy trails, Adrian Peterson. The Washington football team cut the future Hall of Fame running back today, a somewhat surprising move since the team was already thin at running back after dumping the problematic Darius Geis. Peterson had spent the last 2 seasons in Washington and led the team in rushing with 1,940 yards and 12 touchdowns, but that was before Ron Rivera took over as coach. There are reports that Washington is looking to become more versatile in their backfield, and Peterson is viewed as a straight-ahead running back. Peterson said he was surprised by the move, and he didn't feel he had shown anything that would warrant being released. Peterson is the number 5 all-time rusher in yards and number 4 all-time in rushing touchdowns. The 35-year-old recently said he wanted to play 4 more years. Obviously, he'll have to play them somewhere other than Washington, maybe Tampa Bay, which seems to be collecting big-name runners.
Well, when are we going to hear New England's name? Because you know they're going to say, oh, well, they could use, I heard somebody say this morning, that the Patriots could use an early down back. That's how these are specified now, a 1st or 2nd down back. You know what, Tony, I get the feeling that if Jim Brown was coming along today, Walter Payton, and you know, some GMs and scouts would say, you know, they can play for us a couple of downs, a couple of downs a game. We don't really need them.
Jim Brown plays all downs.
You know,
that's it.
With these guys now, Tony, who knows? Let's go to the big finish. Ja Morant won Rookie of the Year. Your boy Zion was 3rd behind Southside's own Kendrick Nunn. Are you okay with this result?
Yes, he played 19 or 20 games. I don't care how great he might be. Of course I'm good with that, yes.
Okay, Lionel Messi, will stay with Barca one more season. You surprised at hearing this?
Well, all the reporting said that he was going to go, and everybody talked about him going, and all the times you called him a fraud, you said, go, who cares?
He's not the
GOAT. So, yes, I am surprised.
One more season,
yes.
Apparently. Vancouver forced tonight's Game 7 with Vegas, a back-to-back situation. Who you got?
I've got Vancouver. I think I remember Barry Melrose saying they were the best team in hockey. But if I'm wrong, I apologize, Barry. But I got Vancouver.
There are 20 baseball games scheduled today and today alone, the most in any one day since 1974. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the Nats are playing one of those 7-inning doubleheaders. Look, they're trying to compress an entire season into an hour. I understand it.
All right, last one. Serena faces Sloane Stephens tomorrow. Who you got in that?
I'm not betting against Serena. She may lose. I don't bet against her.
All right.
Time, Tony.
I'm Mike Wilbon. We're off till Tuesday, knuckleheads, when we are scheduled once again to be on the Deuce. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts, and maybe Tony can find technology if he gets out of his attic.
Do you think Serena's going to lose?
Yeah.
Do you think she's going to lose?